Good morning. You guys are moving as slow as I am this morning. Morning, big kiddo. Hey. Okay, so what happened around Easter? Jesus went on the cross first, yes. And then what happened? He died. Very good. And then what happened?
He rose.
After that, what happened? Well, he kind of hung around for a while. It tells us that he hung around for about 40 days, and he would appear to his followers and just prove of what had happened. And then he told them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then he said, be witnesses to everyone in the world. So after that, do you know what happened? Because I don't really remember in Sunday school learning about what happened, but after he told them to be witnesses, then he raised his hands, and where do you think he went? Did he just poof disappear? He slowly started to rise up to heaven, and then a cloud hid him. Now, can you imagine what his followers were thinking as they're watching this happen? That's pretty incredible. You ever seen something that you just want to go, wow? That'd be pretty cool. Now, they saw it, and they were supposed to be witnesses. But we didn't see that, did we? No. Okay. So I just, for Ella's sake, rode a horse yesterday, so I'm not moving too well. But for the sake of you guys, I'm going to do something, okay? Ready? All right, what did I just do? Jumping jacks. Okay, now I would like for Brighton and Briley to close their eyes. Don't peek. And I want the people in the congregation to do something that I'm doing, and I want you to watch, okay? Okay. Now, go ahead and open your eyes. What did they do? What'd you see? Oh, help me out here. Help me out. What'd you see? What did they do? They put their hand up. Good answer. Very good. They put their hands up. Do you think that happened? No? Oh, come on. Dawson, what kind of person are you, buddy?
A liar.
A liar. No, you're not. He's a good guy. Do you think they raised their hands? Do you think the congregation? Yeah, I think they did. Okay, go along with me. They raised their hands. They really did. I saw it, right? So I'm telling you. So you found out what they did through Dawson and me telling you, trustfully, they raised their hands. So how do we know how to witness to other people? How do we know what happened? How is Jesus expecting us to tell other people what happened? Because those were the people that saw it, right? And we're trusting that that's what happened. So that's what we're sharing with other people in the world. Okay. Thank you for participating. Shall we pray? Thank you for this beautiful day, and thank you for all the people before us who has showed us, shared with us your works. Please be with your precious children this week and lead us to those who need to hear about your love. In your name we pray. Amen.
Today's gospel lesson is from Acts, the first chapter, verses 1 through 14. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning, until the day when he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas's son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. So ends the reading.
You may be seated.
This is the word of God for we, the people of God, let us say. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, it's so great to be back from vacation. And I'm so glad that we came back and spring was here. The flowers are blooming. There's tulips popping up and daffodils. People are out mowing their lawns. It's so great. And we're also turning a page now. We've been through the Gospel of John, and now we're just going to have a couple of weeks. We're going to be in Acts. And today, our theme is the ascension of Jesus, as we heard in the children's moment and in the scripture reading today. And how many of you went and saw that new Avengers movie? I'm not going to talk about spoilers or anything, but there was some really interesting stuff where the main bad guy, Thanos, he got this Infinity Gauntlet. He got all these cool gems that had all these powers and stuff. And once he had all these gems, he could go across space and time and turn back time and alter reality and all these different things. But he would just, there's a scene where there's a battle, and then he gets what he wants, and then he just does something with his magic gauntlet, and then all of a sudden he's on Earth. He's one planet, and then all of a sudden he walks through this portal, and all of a sudden he's on Earth, you know? He's here, and then he's gone. And as I saw that, it made me think about what it might have been like for the disciples. Jesus is with them. He's there. He gives them their final instructions. He gives them the great commission, you know, in Matthew's gospel, where he says, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. And even in, wrong piece of paper. In Luke's gospel, he tells them to go to Jerusalem and wait for the Father to give them the promised gift, to clothe them with power from on high. And in today's reading, he gives them a similar instruction. It said that after his suffering, he presented himself alive in the flesh, you know, with his radiant scars in his hands and his side. And he showed them to them, and he ate with them. And he probably broke bread and had communion with them again. And he was there, and then he'd be gone. He'd show up unexpected, or they'd see him, and they wouldn't recognize him. But he appeared to them during 40 days, and he spoke about the kingdom. and he even stayed with them. But he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. Now, he had told them to go and make disciples of all nations, right? That sounds like we're not supposed to stay put. We're supposed to go. We've got a mission. We got to go, go, go. He even tells them that you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. But before he says that, there's something that they need. He said to wait for the promise of the Father. Now, a promise from the Father is something that is yet to be fulfilled. The decision has been made, but they haven't yet received that special gift. Wait for the promise of the Father. And then he kind of explains what that promise is. He gives them a description. He says, "This is what you've heard from me. John baptized with water." That is, they were baptized for the repentance and the forgiveness of sins. That outward sign of an inward act of grace, of the love of God that transformed them. But he says, "You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And when John the Baptist would talk about that, he would say, "You would be baptized, you, with the Holy Spirit and with fire." There's a purifying, there's a cleansing. This is something new. Instead of God's presence and Holy Spirit filling a temple made from human hands and bringing a fire to that altar, so to speak. Like when Elijah in the Old Testament, he called forth fire from heaven in that duel with the prophets of Baal. Well, this fire from heaven this time, is it going to be on an altar of wood? It's going to be in human hearts. He's going to set them ablaze. As God promised in Ezekiel, he gave that good word. It says, "I will take away their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within them and write my law upon their hearts." You know, as we remember from Luke's gospel, when Jesus had appeared to them and he was incognito and they didn't recognize him on that road to Emmaus, and he explained the scriptures with them and he broke bread with them and then he disappeared, and they said, "Weren't our hearts burning within us when he opened the scriptures to us?" See, when the Father would send the promised Holy Spirit upon them, it would be like that for them for the rest of their lives. They would always have that burning in their hearts because the scriptures through the Holy Spirit would be opened to them. And they would have understanding that comes directly from the will of God. I get fired up about this. You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. But then the disciples, they're anticipating. You know, Joe was at Walk to Emmaus a couple weeks ago, right? Did they say this to you, Joe? Don't anticipate, participate.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. Don't anticipate, participate. These disciples were anticipating. They were anticipating their mission. But they were already imagining what they were going to do. But God had a different plan. They were still carrying some old expectations. Because what do they ask Jesus? Look at verse 6. They said, "Lord, is this the time you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" Now, did you hear how they worded that? "When you will restore, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" As if Israel could contain the kingdom of God. It's foolish, isn't it? Shouldn't they be saying, "Lord, isn't this, what's this going to be the time where you will restore Israel into the kingdom of God?" They had the wrong scope. And so Jesus rebukes them. He says, "It's not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority." He says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." See, the mission that Jesus was giving them was bigger than what their imaginations could comprehend. Because they still had one foot in the past. But everything has changed in Jesus. The past has come into the present in Christ. And yet, when we see Jesus, we see our future in heaven. He is the kingdom of God in the flesh. Remember when he came in the story and he came about calling his disciples? He said, repent, that is, change your hearts and your life. For the kingdom of heaven is near or at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Everything was being fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And it all came to a head when he died on the cross for our sins. He was both that scapegoat and he was that pure and spotless sacrifice for us, our Passover for us. Everything changed. You know, that's why in history we see, where at least it used to be in the old days, it was B.C. and A.D., right? That Jesus is the hinge of all history. Before Christ and Anno Domini, in his dominion, the inauguration of his kingdom, heaven breaking into earth. But it was contained in his person, in his flesh. And wherever Jesus went, that was where the kingdom was. But Jesus couldn't be everywhere all at once while he's walking on the earth with us. He had to go to heaven, to the Father. Because that's where his throne was. That heaven is his throne and the earth is his footstool. And so Jesus says, you will be my witnesses. Now, a witness is someone who tells or testifies to what they've seen. And what are they going to testify to? Everything that they've experienced. All of their relationship with Jesus. Their experience of salvation and repentance, and redemption, and forgiveness, and healing, and deliverance, and hope, and being good news for the poor. Amen? They were to go and do likewise with everything they saw Jesus do. And Jesus was going to give them all the power that God had given him, that same Holy Spirit. Because once Jesus disappeared and ascended out of their sight, they were watching. And he's lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. Now, I don't know if Jesus went up like an elevator. You know, you see that in some of the children's cartoons. But what I want to pay attention to here is the cloud. The cloud was significant. In the Old Testament, when Moses and the Israelites on their Exodus, they were led by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. That cloud represented the presence of God, the glory of God, the weightiness of God's presence with them. That God had stepped down from heaven in the Spirit and was present with them to protect them. And when they finally completed that first tabernacle at the end of Exodus, you know what happens? This cloud, this glory of God, the Shekinah glory they called it, filled the tabernacle to where Moses couldn't even go in. Because he was not holy enough. And so after that, the book of Leviticus is all about how do we help the people of God become holy and find atonement for their sins and to make proper sacrifices so that they can be brought into right relationship and have God's presence again with them. And then later on, when they had the temple and Solomon completed the temple that David wanted to start, when they were all finished and they were done praying, there came that cloud, that Shekinah glory of God. The Holy Spirit filled the place and no one could go in. But now we see this. The cloud comes and takes him out of their sight. But instead of the cloud being in a building, the cloud is outdoors. It's the fulfillment of a scripture in the Old Testament. There's a psalm that says again and again that heaven and earth are full of your glory. See, now that Jesus goes to heaven, the Holy Spirit is free to be given to all flesh, to everyone who believes. And so now the glory of God cannot be contained in a building. The glory of God covers the earth. Isn't that amazing? And not only that, but the glory of God, the gift of the Holy Spirit, is poured into our human hearts. It's not just glory around us. It's glory within us and in our relationships. Amen? So he gives them this gift, this glory. You know, as we remember from Romans in chapter 5, that Paul says, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint. Why? Because the love of God has been poured into our hearts through the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's the love of God made readily available to everyone. That everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, that confesses with their mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believes that God raised him from the dead, will be saved. Amen? Amen. And so they're looking up, and then they see the angels, well, two men in white robes, standing by them. And they say, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up at heaven? This Jesus who's been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." That is, when Jesus' presence is with them, it's going to come with that cloud of glory. That the way that they're going to recognize Jesus coming back to them, being with them as he promised them to be with them always to the end of the age and promises us, is through the Holy Spirit. It's the Jesus that's greater than we could even imagine, because it's Jesus that's always with us, that will never leave us, never forsake us. It's the Jesus that can't be contained to an image that we would have in our minds, but it's when we see Jesus in one another. It's when we see Jesus in our children, and we see Jesus in the person in need of our mercy, and when we give them that cold cup of water, or we give them that meal when they're hungry, we see Christ staring back at us. It's that Jesus you see when you wake up in the morning as a Christian and you realize that, wow, I'm alive today. God loves me. His grace and his mercy is new each day. Thank you, God, for this life you've given me. And you look in the mirror and you see this gleam in your eye, and that's Jesus and his Holy Spirit in you. The glory of God cannot be contained anymore. And when Jesus comes, he promises to come again in bodily form, in the flesh, from the cloud again, to come and to reign, because everything will be fulfilled, and he'll come and heaven and earth are going to collide, just like they did in him, in his being fully human and fully God for us. You know, because Jesus is in heaven right now, that we're with him, Paul says in Ephesians that we are seated with him in the heavenly realms, that now we have access to the throne of God in heaven. When we pray, when we worship, because Jesus is right there at the Father's right hand. He's taken all of us into his body, in himself, because he did it on the cross for us. And so what that means is, even though you're here right now on earth, if you're in Christ, you are present with him in heaven. That you are having communion with God, whether you realize it or not. It's mind-blowing. Way more mind-blowing than that ending to Avengers Infinity War. So that's the good news I come today. The reason why we stand looking at heaven is because heaven's come to us. Paul says in Colossians, he says, to set your minds on the things that are above, the things of heaven. Because heaven is where Jesus is with the Father. But when we set our minds on Christ, we experience heaven breaking into our lives here on earth. Amen? And one of the best ways we can come to experience heaven breaking into earth is when we celebrate the means of grace. Holy Communion.